Welcome to the Fangled Cast, brought to you by Fangled Technologies, where we help you convert every person your company touches into a voracious advocate for your brand.
Hey, everybody, welcome back to the Fangled Cast. This is going to be an interesting one. We're going to dive deep into the dark world of your reputation with a relatively new friend of mine, Rajiv Zadav. And I am so happy to have you on the show and your company, R Square Media, that does incredible things to help people better their digital reputation. And without me screwing up your bio or misstating, how about you tell me a little bit about yourself and what you guys do?
Andrew, thank you so much for inviting me on your show. R Square Media is an award-winning reputation management and reputation repair company. I'd like to offer a small distinction there, since I mentioned two words, a reputation repair typically means we delete bad stuff from Google. Bad stuff, including bad reviews, bad press. We delete that stuff. Reputation management, on the other hand, is more about propagating the good. So producing content, optimizing social media profiles, creating videos to storytell based on whatever visibility objective the client wants to project and wants the brand to be affiliated with or for people to know or associate with.
So in very, very much, there's sort of a two-prong approach. You've got your almost a PR concept of how do we build this guy's reputation so that people build their brand? How do you be admired and trusted and all of those things in the market? And the other side is getting rid of all of that bad stuff that may or may not be accurate that people put out there about your company. And before we dig in, because I know immediately everyone there is going, uh-oh, black hat, deep web, illegal. Let's talk a little bit about how the bad stuff disappears in ways that you do that are completely legal, as opposed to later when we'll talk about the good stuff. Let's get the bad news before the good news. So tell me a little bit about fixing a bad reputation. I've got a store. Somebody came in and left me a review that has nothing to do with who I am as a business, and people stop coming to my store because there's this horrible review. What can you do for us?
Yeah, so first of all, that's a great question. And I think you asked me two questions, so I'll probably try to answer both questions as well. What we recommend for most people is to reach out to the person that posted the bad review and request them. The interesting statistic is that on average, 50% of the bad reviews are posted in error. What that means is it's not relevant to that business. That person perhaps was not even a customer. Mm-hmm. And it was, I guess it's the case of mistaken identity. And they thought that this business was something, but it's not. And they just posted the review regardless. Oftentimes when the business responds to the poster through the platform by saying, excuse me, I think there might be a mistake here. Our records indicate that you're not a customer. That could be one way of making it right and just to speak to the person as a human to try and work it out. That sometimes can help, and you try and work with a person, even if, let's say, that person is a customer, just make it go away just through a reasonable approach. Now, if for whatever reason the person is unresponsive because he or she is having a bad day or for whatever reason refuses, then you reach out to a reputation repair company like R Square. And what we do is we essentially go in there. We have many established relationships with all the platforms like Google, Yelp, etc. And we're essentially working with the platform to make the case that for these reasons, this is a fake review or it's a false review. Can you please take it down? And then through that conversation, the platform or the publisher acquiesces and says, okay, we'll take it down. And that's basically how we do it. And also just to clarify, we are not a law firm. We are not doing any DMCA takedowns or anything like that. This is a different approach where we're speaking to the platform by saying, can you please take it down for these reasons? Sometimes the platform may request a fee to be paid for this because it's a lot of work to go in there and find the story and take it down, et cetera, et cetera. There's hours of work there. And then they sometimes request for those hours of work to be compensated because they have to employ people to do it. So when that payment is made, that's when the outcome is delivered. And we offer a 100% performance guarantee, which means that if the work does not happen, the client can rightfully ask for a full refund, and we give them a refund, no questions asked.
Mm-hmm. So imagine like a scenario, let's say a person decides that they were mistreated because of, let's pick something horrible. They were mistreated in a restaurant because in their mind, the waiter was disrespectful of their race. And so now there's a bad review on the website and hundreds of people glom on and they start, you know, let's say it's on Yelp. They go in on Yelp and they said, the waiter treated me poorly because of my race. And now 100 warriors of justice glom on and start slamming the restaurant. And now there's hundreds of people don't ever eat there. How does somebody repair after an incident like that, whether it was or was not racial? But you as a business owner want to get that taken care of. Is it even possible?
Yes. The short answer is yes. And the approach would be similar to what I illustrated earlier. Firstly, I would advise for the business to reach out to the person that posted that initial review to establish that thank you for your response. Apologies that you had a less than great experience. We want to work with you to figure out more, actually have a conversation to see what happened. Because somebody told me this once that there are actually three versions of the truth. There's your version, my version, and the version. So the So the truth is always somewhere in the middle. And once you get to what that truth is, there is a possibility or a path of working it out. So that's option one. That is most likely going to be the less investment heavy option. Option number two is you reach out to a reputation repair company like R Square Media, who will go in there and work with the platform to get the bad reviews deleted. And we charge per successful deletion. So if there's 10, it's going to be times 10. And the price can stack up pretty fast. After that, now this is taking care of the bad, and that's reputation repair. Reputation management is more about how do we propagate the good. Then what we would do is we would create a lot of content to say that people have had a great experience and start pushing that aggressively on the internet, on places like Google, so that when you Google the restaurant, you see positive, favorable content like videos of customers praising the service or praising the cooking or praising the experience or something like that.
Let me pause you for a second here. Now, you are saying legitimate positive reviews of people who've actually been there. It's not a group of people sitting in a dark room somewhere just making up reviews.
Right.
Yeah. Right. I mean, that's what people are going to think. That's why I'm asking. So I'm trying to, the main reason I'm asking all these questions is I'm trying to figure out how much money I need to save, because I've got intentions to behave pretty badly in the next couple of months. Now that the market's open, I may need your help. And I am
sure.
I am kidding. But so, you know, one of the things that and the reason I had you on is because I know kind of what you do and want people to understand it. There was a story years ago, and I don't want to get myself sued, so I'm not going to say what the product was, but there were two products that were coming to market that were game changers. And one of them had a head start, was going to come out about a month before the other. And they hired in the Philippines a company to start to create reviews for this product on a timer so that they were, you know, within day, the first day of launch of the product, there would be thousands of people. I got it today. I loved it. The problem was that the launch got delayed 2 days and all the reviews went out. And then the competitor said, well, that's crazy. So about 4 years later, the same scenario was happening and people didn't catch on, but the same scenario was happening. Now it got ugly. The first competitor that was launching all of a sudden had thousands of negative reviews. the chip that was used is too slow, the screen doesn't respond like it's supposed to, just horrible, horrible reviews, and the product had yet to be in the market. So So now on all of these social media websites, the electronic review sites, everywhere out there, there were tens of thousands of negative reviews before the product even launched. What does a company have to do to get that cleaned up?
I think for something like that, depending on the scale of the company, I would recommend doing more of a broadcast to kind of clarify the story. A broadcast typically would be achieved by doing a press conference. This way you can get all the appropriate press outlets to come there and cover the story to find out what it was, because this is kind of juicy and it's very interesting, since there might be an air of controversy attached to it, and that's always good for selling news.
Absolutely.
So that could be one approach, just to kind of clear the air and get the message straight. That could be one tactic. The second tactic, of course, is if the company is finding that all these bad reviews are actually killing them, and it's the case of dead on arrival type thing, where it's almost like they're pushed so far into the red that they just can't get out of it, then they would need to hire a company like R-Square Media to delete all that bad press, since since clearly it was false, because the product hasn't shipped yet. So how is it possible that you're getting bad press for something that per se does not exist?
Yeah, well, my question to that, though, is, do you guys have, or do you have resources to look at those reviews and be able to trace them back to the source? Or is that outside the scope of what your company does?
Slightly unrelated to your question. So I did serve as an expert witness in a case about reputation. It was about Yelp, and the assertion was that a bad review on Yelp caused an attorney's legal practice to suffer immensely, and he was seeking damages. And through the following the digital breadcrumb, so to speak, we were able to find out where the device, which device was used, and how that device was not owned or had anything to do with the defendants. So there is a way to figure that out. It's not typically what clients ask of us, but if needed, yes. The short answer is yes, we do have the ability of figuring all that stuff out. And that being said, yes, we do have the resources of attacking the problem in different ways. One is taking away the bad, and the second is propagating the good, so that the net outcome is something that favors the company and gives them an honest chance of success.
Yeah. You know, I truly believe that most consumers have figured out, much like when you get graded on a curve, that when you look at the reviews of a product, you eliminate the bottom and you eliminate the top and see what's there. But it's interesting, like on some of the e-commerce sites, you'll see a product that's really poorly reviewed. And the first thing I do is I click on the one star stuff. I want to see, just to see what it is. And it's really funny because it skews the numbers. And so many times it's, oh, the package got broken by UPS. Or when it arrived, it was wet and it didn't work. And things that had nothing to do with the product. And what's interesting on a lot of these e-commerce sites, if you're the company selling that, it's the e-commerce site that did delivery. And it's very difficult to get them to remove those reviews, even though they have nothing to do with your product. And I'm, you know, it's one of those, if you had people get you, like, for example, to get in touch with Amazon to try to remove low-level reviews on their product that weren't related to the product?
So that's something that we offer, where companies are reaching out to us to delete either one-star reviews, or ideally 1 to 2 star is typically what most clients request for. Because those kind of reviews do not favor the product or service. And those are the kind of reviews that that clients are requesting to be removed, since it negatively impacts the overall rating from 1 through 5.
Yeah. I've even seen low reviews on websites where somebody has a personal beef with the manufacturer. Like, for example, there may be a cosmetic product out there that's tested on animals, according to the review. So people, right. It's a one-star product. Those people are animal abusers. But it's not actually a review of the product. It's a review of the company and their reputation. Are those typically removable, or are those kind of have to stick around?
The kind of reviews that we get deleted, we can get any kind of review deleted. Like I said, typically is we make a case on behalf of the client with the platform. And if the platform feels that we have a valid claim or our request is reasonable, they do acquiesce and do work with us in getting those reviews taken down. Because technically speaking, the platform does not benefit if there are too many negative reviews on a certain product, because it means that that product is not going to sell that well.
Or be shown in the search.
Right. Right, exactly. So it's having those whole bunch of bad reviews on that platform does not necessarily serve the platform. So it's in the platform's interest as well to have at least the most scathing of those reviews, or the reviews that for the most part seem like a harassment or more to do with some kind of spite or emotional reason as opposed to a factual reason, have those removed, since the idea of a review is for to ascertain a person's personal experience and to help other customers make an informed decision. So if you have a review that's mostly just emotional without per se helping someone with their purchase, it really doesn't help anyone.
And
it's more like an ego or a pride issue.
Yep. Before we move on to the good stuff, the positive stuff that you do, actually, that's a positive thing, or getting people's reputation cleaned up. Is there anything else about that part of it that I should have asked you in terms of reputation repair that I didn't, in terms of service, scenario, things like that?
Yes, Andrew. There's one thing that I want. I don't know if I mentioned this, but I certainly want to state it, that the reputation repair service that we offer is to salvage the reputation of people that have been maligned online, that have been treated unfairly, either by certain groups of people, the media, or something like that. It is to help those people who are trying so hard to do the right thing and serve customers in the best way they know how, to help them continue to do that, because it's in everyone's best interest for more businesses like that to exist. So our service is to help businesses, organizations like that continue to do what they want to do from the perspective of community service and serving people. We are not here, and I repeat, not here to let bad actors get away with it. I just want to make that super clear. And there are certain categories that we absolutely will not touch.
Well, then you won't be able to help me then. No, right, that's that. Right. I'm glad you brought that up. I was going to ask that at the end, but now I don't have to. Yeah, I think the audience really needs to hear that. If you make a crappy product, you hurt people, you do stupid things, and you call for reputation repair, you're not going to get very far with you guys.
Correct. And it's also possible that if the client takes ownership about, yes, it was a crappy product, it had some defects, people complained, and we took note of that, and now we want to do the right thing. That is a great story, which can be used in reputation repair as well as reputation management. Yep. So if they chose to go down that route, sure, we would absolutely work with them and do our best to see that that message resonates with people, and that's what people see about the company. Now, if on the other hand, they go the other way, well, then that would be a different case.
You just hit on a scenario that I'm curious about. So there recently, I had a product that had a recall, and there was one component of it that was defective, and they resupplied it to everyone. But when you go on the website and you look at where their product is sold, the reviews, because of that defective part, are phenomenal. So, I mean, there's probably 100 reviews saying that part broke. I was lucky; mine never broke, but I replaced it with a new one. So, in a scenario like that, a company comes to you and says, "Look, we're going to replace all of these defective parts. Can you help us to get the people who put those bad reviews down or to write an additional review saying, hey, after I wrote this, the company helped me
out. Yeah, and like an update kind of.
Yeah.
You
do projects like that?
Yeah, absolutely. We always recommend to clients to try and work with people like a human, treat them like a human as opposed to the standard canned response that usually annoys people and does not help. I mean, sure, canned response are things that attorneys kind of cook up to cover you, but sometimes you really want to speak to someone as a person and try and work with them and engage with them in a constructive dialogue. And usually that does work. And of course, if it doesn't work, they can always give us a call.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. We give this recommendation to clients in terms of customer experience in their company. If you've got a recording on your phone that says, our customers are very important to us, so please hold for another hour so we can talk to you. Chances are you don't understand customer experience.
Right.
Words are cheap. It's the action, human to human, that really matters in terms of that, which brings us to the positive. If I want to improve an already standard reputation to be a stellar reputation, to grow advocates, and as we do at Fangl, teach people how to turn every touch into an advocate for their brand, how can you help with those kinds of projects?
Yeah, that's a great question, Andrew. And the way is it all depends on what the brand is, what it's trying to accomplish, who is its ideal audience, and where their audience lives online. And keeping all that in mind, we then create a strategy and a roadmap as to how to achieve that. So just to be clear and to clarify, this is not necessarily a one and done. Mm-hmm. If done correctly, you want to do this as an ongoing effort. Sure. You want to constantly have some kind of engagement, conversation, dialogue with your intended audience and let them know that you genuinely do care. And that's the whole purpose of the ongoing nature of it. Mm-hmm. And that will give you the long-lasting value that most progressive brands are seeking.
So it really is an ongoing, almost you could say a goodwill campaign with content, with video, with a profiling of people in your organization to show the humanity that's there, not the robots who take care of the nest. I guess it'd be the wrong way of saying it. But so there's a sort of a separate mindset that also overlaps into the repair side of we're going to fix it, but let's make it even better.
Right. And it's also really important, strategically speaking, to understand where your core audience lives. So, for example, if your core audience is, let's say, adults that are 55 plus, there's a high likelihood that that audience is not on Snapchat or TikTok. I'm just making a broad assumption.
They're not twerking on TikTok to some.
Well, so, I mean, jokes aside, that, you know, there's this a phrase that we use in public speaking, know your audience, know the room.
Yep.
This is true here as well. You need to know who your audience is and where they exist. Mm-hmm. So if you know that your audience is mostly on Facebook, maybe Instagram, YouTube, you then, keeping that insight in mind, you want to create content that can thrive on those platforms because that's where your audience is. And that then becomes part of your platform strategy, your outreach strategy, your content strategy. You use a lot of data to figure out what the hot buttons are, the triggers, sure, what people are really looking for, what they're passionate about, what they care about. And then you create content that aligns with that. And then you support that content with a little bit of paid advertising to amplify the message. And you continue to do that. You test. We always advise clients to constantly test because people's taste, habits, preferences are constantly changing and evolving. And as marketers, we need to keep pace with that and know that. And not to just be stuck and in one stage, even if it did work for us at that point in time.
Yeah, we use the expression all the time to meet your client at their model of the world and draw them towards a model that brings you together.
Yes.
Yeah. But my audience is actually on fax machines, so they're a little harder to reach.
Well, you know, I do know that somebody did say that one of the most effective outreach or direct marketing campaigns that he did was actually just to fax his flyer to a whole bunch of people, and apparently that worked because it was better than postage.
I don't think it does anymore, but there was a time where the fax was the king, and you'd go to your copy machine and make a photocopy, and there's 12 unsolicited faxes on the machine from the local sub shop and some guy who wants to wash your windows. And it was a long time ago. I remember when the fax machine first came out, nothing could ever be better than that. Of course, we had no vision of what the internet was going to be. But yeah, it's funny, the finding people where they are, it really goes back to the core strategy of what we teach all of our clients. You have to know who your customer or customers are, where they are, and what actually matters to them. What are the pains and otherwise that you can solve? And from there, you can build a strategy to really, really get them to become those voracious advocates because your reputation is fixed. So this is really, really interesting. Is there anything about the positive reputation side in terms of the work that you do that I should have asked you that I didn't?
As far as the positive, yeah, I would say one thing is understand that you are unique and there is something about you that makes you unique from everyone else. And I'm speaking to whoever's watching as either the product designer, the brand manager, the CEO of the company, or even one of the people that produces the product or service. Even if it is, let's say, in a highly crowded, commoditized, generic space, there is still something that differentiates what you do from the competitor. And you should certainly engage with us to figure out what that is and then start talking about that. And that, using tactics, strategies like that can absolutely help you out. But I will say this, that try to be, and I know that this is unfortunately a bit of a buzzword and has been overused a lot lately, try to be authentic. Mm-hmm. And authenticity is not necessarily the kind of fluff words that are thrown very overused from time to time, but it's more about what are your core values that go back to why you started to do this in the first place, and remind people of that from time to time. And I think you might be surprised with how people or customers may resonate with that and be drawn towards you. I would kind of maybe revisit that territory. It's almost like this is something that a coach, one of my coaches advised me. And it's something that I had to honestly reflect because it was a very strange question. And the question was, he said, Rajiv, do you know why your customers chose you? Mm-hmm. And I that kind of caught me off guard. I said, I don't know. Because to be honest, at that time, I had not had that conversation with them. I just kind of went with the flow and I enjoyed a high conversion rate and many people signed up and I just continued to do it. But then I didn't stop to understand why. And when I did have that conversation, I understood all of those things, some of which were big and some of which were super small that I previously would have just not even considered. But having this awareness by asking that question and hearing with both humility and candor, that actually is the foundation of a really stable and successful strategy. And yeah, that's something that I would, you know, like if this message resonates with you, I would say start having those kind of conversations with your core stakeholders, whether it's customers, suppliers, employees, et cetera. And you'll start figuring out what those truths are and you can leverage those truths by creating content around it to help separate you and distinguish you from others.
Yeah, I mean, that is the core of almost every qualitative study that we do for our clients is who is your customer or customers? What are their personas? And what matters to them? What are their pains, challenges, needs, desires that you can meet in ways that are better or different than any other alternate solution to that problem? Because competitors are far more than just people who make what you make. There are other people who can solve the same problem with what you make or with something completely different. So that's I think that's a great stopping point for us today. I thank you so much for coming on the show. It was really a pleasure. I'm so glad that we met recently. I think the friendship's going to go on for a long time. It's fun to hang out. And for those of you at home who just met Rajiv, when you check, you'll find for the R Square Media link, as well as his LinkedIn and all that other stuff that you that normally we talk about to find. And if you like the FangledCast, you enjoyed this episode, one of the things that you really need to do is reach down below and click that, that little subscribe thing so you can get future episodes. You can like it. You can, I don't know, fax an old person and tell them they should get YouTube and watch it too. If you're listening to us in the audio version on your treadmill or wherever the heck you are, please don't trip. I don't have liability insurance for that. Enjoy the show. And we will see you all on the next edition of the FangledCast. Thanks so much for joining us.
Brought to you by Fangled Technologies, where we help you convert every person your company touches into a voracious advocate for your brand.